Hello, dear listeners. This is Ivona Remundová from the Institute of Documentary Film in Prague. This is True Story, podcast about everything you wanted to know about documentary film of Central and Eastern Europe. Today, we are talking to Vanya Jambrovic and Serjan Keča. Hello, Vanya. Hello, Serjan.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for inviting us.
Today, we are talking about your newest project, The Museum of the Revolution. I've heard that this is called a fairy tale about a little girl, an old lady, an abandoned utopian project set for demolition. Could you tell us a little bit more about your newest film?
So the film centers around these three protagonists, three generations of women, a little girl, her mother, and an old lady who live in this abandoned architectural project, which was supposed to be the Museum of the Revolution in former Yugoslavia in Belgrade. And the project was never actually built except for the basement of it. And so we find our characters in this space in the beginning of the film. And this space provides a kind of impetus for an allegorical layer of the film, which then explores the current present day transformation of spaces in Belgrade, which in turn, again, impacts the lives of the three protagonists. So the film is about their struggles. They work in the street trying to kind of earn money, especially the little girl and her mother, who work to send money to the little girl's father, who is in prison. And so around these struggles of the three protagonists is this city that is being transformed. And in the midst of all this transformation, the three women find refuge in each other. So in a way, it's a film that tries to be a parable about life inside in a structure of aborted dreams, which to me was a way to express the core experience of what it means to live in post-Yugoslav societies that are kind of fast-tracked into this rabid capitalism and a kind of pretty staggering level of inequality.
Is this my naive dream, or is this kind of a real picture that in the post-Yugoslav countries, people are more open or more sensitive to the problems of capitalism because the Yugoslavia was really a socialist, in a good meaning of that word, a socialist country?
I think it could be that that's the case, yeah. I don't know how to compare it necessarily to others, but I do feel like that in the rest of Eastern Europe, there is more resistance to the idea of socialism or communism because of the more negative experiences of what it means to be to live in a socialist or communist society. Whereas in Yugoslavia, that experience was, for the largest number of people, it was pretty positive, actually. And so I think we do have this feeling of like a dream that, you know, went nowhere and was lost rather than a nightmare that kind of ended. And in fact, the nightmare is now, because again, you know, Serbia now, 30 years after socialism, is always among the top three countries in Europe in wealth and income inequality. So we really have right now the most horrible form of capitalism in Europe, at least.
Serjan Keča's work has centered around sites of memory, often in relation to conflict and displacement. His films, A Letter to Dead, Mirage, and Escape, have screened at leading documentary film festivals including ITFA, DOC Leipzig, and Full Frame. And his video installations have been exhibited at venues such as Venice Biennale of Architecture and Whitechapel Gallery. Flotel Europa, which he produced and edited, premiered at the 2015 Berlin Film Festival, winning the Tagesspiel Jury Award. He studied at Ateliers Varan and the National Film and Television School in London and is now assistant professor in the Department of Art and Art History at Stanford University. Vanya, take us to the very beginning of this great cooperation, of the cooperation on the line Zagreb-Belgrade, of the cooperation between you and Serjan. How did it all start for you?
We know each other for quite a long time, maybe 10 years already, because I was introduced to Serjan's previous mid-length documentaries. First of all, Letter to Dead and Mirage, which I was completely amazed by. I mean, to me, that was really the purest and the most beautiful documentary films from my region of ex-Yugoslavia that I could think of. And I really love his previous films and I was amazed by them. And I was thinking, okay, so I would really like to work with him. So we met through our mutual colleague and mutual friend and my partner here in Restart, Oliver. And we first we distributed, because we also have in Restart a distribution label or Restart label. So we distributed this Midland Surgeon's previous films. And this is how we actually met. And of course, I was constantly interested to hear about Surgeon's new project. And I was actually lucky that he didn't have a proper producer in Serbia, where he comes from, actually. So to me, that was incredible, because I was thinking, you know, that producers should fight between themselves who will work with him. But actually, at that moment, he didn't have a producer. He was a self-producer, but, you know, he was doing this only because he didn't have anyone else, not because he was interested to produce his own films. And this is actually when I proposed him that we can and we should work together and that I would like to produce his next film. And at first we started to actually develop together an idea for a feature fiction film. Surgeon was thinking to make a first fiction film, a feature fiction. And we were together at the workshop EAVE with that project. But unfortunately, this project was never realized. We had to drop out the project because there were some circumstances in Surgeon's life that he moved to America and he started to teach at Stanford. So it was at that time, at that moment, really too complicated to dedicate ourselves to production of the feature fiction film. But at the same time, he had this amazing project, Museum of the Revolution, that he started to develop actually in 2014 as an installation about this architectural piece of Museum of the Revolution. And afterwards, he met the protagonist, the little girl, and he started to follow them. And he already collected a lot of material that he filmed with the protagonist. And he showed me this material, and it completely blew my mind. I found it really the purest and the most beautiful documentary cinema that I could imagine. And I was interested to produce it and to become his producer.
Vanya Jambrovic is a producer in a Restart production company in Croatia and a poet. Restart focuses on production of creative documentaries, running educational programs. It also has a distribution label and operates Doku Kino, a small art house cinema in the center of Zagreb dedicated to creative documentaries. Vanya's track record as a producer includes more than 20 films of all shapes and sizes. Her films circled the globe, having been screened in competitions at Hot Dogs, Toronto, FED Marseille, Karlovy Vary, Sarajevo, and many more. Vanya is also a Sundance Institute Documentary Film Program grantee for the feature documentary project Museum of the Revolution, directed by Serjan Keča. Serjan, take us a little bit deeper into the problem of the Museum of the Revolution, or in general, into the problem of what's happening in nowadays Belgrade, for those who don't know.
So the architectural layer is important in the film, although the film doesn't sort of get into all of these details that I will lay out here. But in essence, the Museum of the Revolution was supposed to be one of these prime architectural gems of Belgrade, or rather New Belgrade, which is the kind of the side of Belgrade, kind of the other side of the Belgrade and the other side of the Sava River, built on top of these marshes starting in the 1950s, and then 60s and 70s are the most of the construction that happened. So in 1961, there was this plan to build this Museum of the Revolution, pretty much the largest museum, I think, in Belgrade. It was supposed to be the largest museum in Belgrade at the time. So the architect, Vjenčeslav Richter, he envisaged this like really ambitious project with this roof kind of curving up towards the sky. And he himself was more interested in the space rather than what was inside the space. He was interested in the space of the museum as a place of gathering of people, as a way of kind of perpetual revolution rather than something that is in the past or only in the past. So he came up with this design in 1961 that was chosen as the winning design for the museum. And so for a variety of reasons, There was the funding, the complexity of the project itself, so the construction did not start until 1978. And then the authorities in Belgrade built the basement of the museum. And then a year later, again, funding dried up and they kind of paused the project. But then the 80s got started and the kind of crisis in Yugoslavia that led to its dissolution had already started. And there was no political will to continue the project anymore. So then some decades later, people started living in this space of the basement of the museum, which was between the Central Committee building of the Communist Party, which of course now is the biggest shopping mall in the country. And on the other side was the government of Yugoslavia, which is now called the Palace of Serbia, where, you know, some parts of the government of Serbia are in there. And so in between is this park and the structure in which the outcasts of Serbian society live, hidden from view. And in fact, actually, not many people in Belgrade know about this place or what it was supposed to be. So the transformation that is happening now in Belgrade, which is more of what the film really documents, is a lot of it is tied to this large project called Belgrade Waterfront, which is tied to these Abu Dhabi financiers and a ton of corruption. And so what is actually happening is that because of this project and a few other projects that are like that, smaller ones that are like that, the whole city map is being transformed. So, you know, lots of things are being moved around for this project to take place. And, you know, part of that transformation is catching some of the spaces where our protagonists live. So it is impacting their lives, even though they don't sort of necessarily think of it as, you know, a large transformation of the city in the way that I'm thinking about it. But that is definitely happening in their lives as well. And the museum itself, part of the plan for the museum itself, or that basement, is to be torn down and for a new concert hall to be built in that spot.
I'm trying to imagine this very, very powerful image of the former center of the Communist Party being the shopping mall. I guess that this is the story of so many countries former Czechoslovakia, all these countries in the so-called Soviet sphere, but Yugoslavia was different, right? And once people hoped that it was different and it's going to be different. And so yeah. As you talk about it, it seems like a very political movie on one hand. Vanya, when you were talking about Serjan trying to find a producer, do you think that this can be one of the reasons why it's not so easy to find producers for such films?
No, I wouldn't say that he's politically too controversial. That's the reason why nobody produced in Serbia his work at that time. But I don't know, I couldn't even imagine why. But on the other hand, I knew that this is exactly a kind of film that I want to produce, you know, the strong author-driven films, strong piece of cinematic art, but that at the same time accessible to the wider audience. You know, this is what I really like, this combination of character-driven film, but at the same time essayistic film. The film that you can watch as a story film, a film that tells you a concrete story about Sven that you can follow, that you are interested to, or some other viewer could watch it on a deeper level, contextualize it on this political and ideological and society level, the level on which it examines the post-socialist society in ex-Yugoslavia, you know. So this is what is, to me, really very, very important, what I really like about Serjan's work, that it has so many layers, and depending on who is watching it, the viewer can decide on which layer he wants to see the film. But this combination of the films that are, you know, like at the same time accessible for the wider audience, but also it is something that is an exceptional piece of art. At the same time, to me, this is really like the best documentary filmmaking. And this is what I found in Serjan's work. Nikako više. Jasno, nikako.
Serjan, your film is about Milica, Vera and Mara, but I've heard you saying that your film is not purely character-driven film. Can you tell me something about this, like where this decision came from and what did it look like when a director decides this is not going to be a character-driven film? I'll do it in a different way.
Thank you. That's a great question. This is the question that we were grappling with for a long time in the edit. You know, what does this film look like? What is the structure of the film? What is the right structure for a film that is not only character-driven? So I think the reasons for that are many. First of all, I always wanted to make, like I said earlier, this parable about what it means to live in kind of the structure of aborted dreams. So it was never supposed to be a film that is just about the people who we see. You know, so this is a problem when you're making a documentary then, because you are obviously showing real people with real specific lives. But that means then that you're making a film that is maybe shot in a particular way that is then not interested in certain specifics of people's lives. That sort of puts that aside. And by doing that, to a certain extent, protects them, I think, from, you know, this kind of peering into privacy that, you know, documentary often is guilty of. So we were just already during the shoot not interested in filming certain things about their lives. And we knew which parts were important to the story. And obviously we filmed a lot more than was important to the story. But yeah, that was the attempt was to make those elements that we felt were important for the story, kind of good and clear in the film. But then in the edits, we were trying to find these openings of the character-based story, and it's very hard to talk about it without, you know, having seen the film, obviously. But we were trying to find these kind of openings in the story of the characters where the film could just sort of open up to the city and to the wider societal context. And we found a few of them. There's not so many opportunities to do that because we were trying to also respect the character story. So once you start a section of the story with the characters, we were trying to kind of go with the flow of that and respect that. But then the film opens up and you get this like little essayistic passage and then goes back to the characters. So in a way, the overall structure of the film is one of an essay film rather than a character-driven film. But most of the time, what you're watching feels like a character-driven film. And so that's what we were trying to play. And also in the sense of what Vanya was saying earlier, that you can watch the film at these different layers. So you can also not even notice the kind of essayistic layer, perhaps, and just watch the character-based story. But if you notice it, maybe, you know, ask certain questions of you. And if you know more of the context, you will read it again in a very different way.
True Story is a documentary podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film. You can find news from the world of film on all the common platforms, such as iTunes, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, as well as on docweb.net.
Vanya, I would like to ask you about your perspective, as I know that there are producers and producers. Some are very far away from the film, from like the creative part, but you are very creative producer, as I know your work, and also you are a poet yourself. So take us a little bit into the creation of this film. Can you remember any of moments when you really had to struggle to find your common way, how to continue in filming or editing this movie?
Yeah, well, actually, in terms of producing, this is quite an unfamiliar case to me because actually I came on board as a producer of this film in the moment when the whole film was already shot, you know, because Serjan shot most of the film, or actually 95% of the film, back in 2017, only by himself. He was also a cinematographer, and there was only one additional person, his assistant and sound recordist present at the film set. So at the moment when I joined Serjan in this journey, the film was already shot, so the production was over already. And the financing from Serbia was also already present. But there was, of course, still a lot of work to do, you know, because actually Serjan is often saying that for this film, the most important part was the pretty long post-production process that we had. It was more than a year, actually. From the start of the editing to the premiere, it's then in the end 2 years. Of course, we didn't edit all the time during these 2 years, every day, on everyday basis, but we would do some part of editing and then we would take a pause. Especially because Srđan is living in the USA and me and editor Hrvoslava Brkušić, she's also from Croatia, from Zagreb. So we were here, so they were trying to do also some kind of online digital editing, but that was quite difficult for this project. So Srđan for some time was editing by himself. So it was a pretty long and exhausting process. And that was also the biggest challenge, I would say, you know, like to really find the best possible outcome for this project, the best possible version of the editing for this film. And it helped us a lot. I must say also that we participated at the Doku Ravkat Boutique, this workshop for Ravkats. That was really, I think, very, very good experience for us because it really helped us to shape the film in a way that Srđan really in the end wanted, and Hrvoslava and me, we helped him on this journey.
Talking about workshops, I would really like to ask you about your experience or your point of view. Sometimes authors are really like using any possible workshop or any possible pitching, and there are those who say that once the project is overpitched, then you lose a lot of energy throughout the creation of the project. What's your attitude? What's your opinion about that?
Well, yes, it's true that you have to be careful not to overpitch and not present everywhere and, you know, to carefully choose where to pitch each project. I think in this particular project, I think we did quite a good job. I'm quite satisfied, you know, we already have pretty much a lot of experience. In my previous films that I produced 5 or 10 years ago, I had this tendency to overpitch because as a documentary producer, you're constantly panicking, you know, because you're in constant lack of financing and all the budgets. All the films are low budget films, especially if you're coming from Eastern Europe or Central Europe, you know, you cannot really compare your budgets that your colleagues from Western have, so you're in constant feeling of a panic that you don't have enough money, that you will not be able to finish the film, that you will not be able to live from your work, that you will not be able to pay your collaborators. So this is why there is this tendency to go everywhere to search for any kind of financing, you know, so and it's a big mistake, actually. So you have to really carefully plan where to go with the film. And with this project, I think we did very, very good. We didn't overpitch it because I think it was a wise choice to pitch here in the region at 2 pitchings. And then, of course, try to go to Prague, to ISDOC platform, which is a very important pitching forum for our region. And then we won an award there to go to IT Forum. And in the meantime, we were also at Doc Leipzig, where we had some meetings. It was a co-production forum. And in the end, we went to Doku Ravkat Boutique, which was, I think, the crucial workshop for this project, just because it is a Ravkat workshop. And there were a lot of struggle in our post-production process, you know, to come from this rough cut stage to the final cut stage, you know, because we did a lot of changes. And then each change, since this film is quite slow-driven cinema, then what make one small change, suddenly you have on a timeline completely new film, you know? So each small change would completely change the overall impression of the whole film. So it was really, I think, a long process to make the final cut. I think I would say that it was not so difficult to come to the rough cut stage, but then from the rough cut stage to the final cut stage, that was, I think, the biggest struggle somehow.
Srđan, some authors sometimes have this feeling that when they are in this stress, they simply give the material to somebody else to leave it on a fresh eye of somebody else. But you are different in this, I guess, because you like to be there when your film is created. You were also DOP of your film. You were in the editing room. You were editing it. Do you have sometimes this feeling like, oh, please, somebody help me and finish it for me?
No, because I also, it's a film that is constantly created rather than found. You know, there are documentaries where you find the film in the edit, maybe you discover it in the material itself. But here we really had to make it, invent it almost, you know. So, you know, it sometimes, you know, changing the sound on a shot or putting shots together from like disparate parts of the material, like it would really reveal something for us. So it felt more like a process of creation than a process of discovery of the film in the material itself. So you constantly had to kind of impose a certain will onto the material for it to express what it needed to express. So that just meant constantly being in dialogue with Krivoslava, with the editor. And we had most of our editing days, really, because also they were short because we both had, and Vanya as well, we all had tiny kids at the same time, you know, so our children were born like between the moment when this film was more or less like shot already, and then the moment, you know, when we kind of started editing. So then we, during the whole post-production process, we had these tiny kids, which also helped because the film centers around the child. So you start to understand a little bit more about how a child processes the world. But then we also had these like really short and intense bursts of work, like 4 to 6 hours a day, which I think was great as well, because I hear now like documentary editors complaining about working 12 hours a day. And I really don't understand who these directors and producers are who make their editors work for 12 hours a day, because it's completely counterproductive. But so we worked like, you know, in these shorter bursts, but even these bursts most of the time were just talking a lot and not sort of working on the timeline so much, but talking a lot, working with these post-it notes, discussing like what might work and then trying something out once we had a plan. And then a lot of the times that would not work. And then we would have to go back and we would think we understood the film, but actually it turned out that we didn't understand the film. And then it took a very long time for us to kind of understand really the mechanics of the film itself and how it moved.
So now the film is the most perfect shape you wanted to have it. And tell us, please, where people can see it. Now we are recording this podcast during November 2021 for all of those who will be listening it later. But I would like to ask you, what's the nearest future of your film?
Yeah, nearest future is our world premiere at ITFA in Amsterdam. So I would also like to invite people who are listening this podcast to come to ITFA to our screening. So we have press and industry screening on 20th of November. And then the world premiere for the general audience, it's on the 23rd of November. And you can check everything actually and all other dates, because in total we have 5 screenings. So you can check everything on ITFA website, Museum of the Revolution. So yes, definitely we would like to invite people, because this film is meant to be seen on the big screen. It's a really wonderful, pure cinematic experience. It's a meditation, visual meditation. And I would really like to invite everyone to come to ITFA.
Thank you, Serjan. Thank you, Vanya. Big luck with your great movie. And I hope to welcome you here again soon with your next project. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This was Serjan Keča and Vanya Jambrovic. Thank you for listening to True Story, a podcast powered by the Institute of Documentary Film in Prague. We will be back with you soon.